This is How Success Happens, where the staff of Entrepreneur chats with innovators, writers, artists, chefs, and a range of other unique personalities to better understand the traits that make excellence possible.
Nobody in Silicon Valley thinks it's actually them. They think everybody else is like this.
One of my regrets actually now, we should have pulled the plug sooner.
It's amazing when the universe sees you commit, how all of a sudden all these resources start to come together.
Thanks for joining us. And now, How Success Happens.
Josh Tetrick co-founded Just in 2011 with the goal of eliminating eggs from the food system. The company's first products were plant-based mayonnaise and salad dressings, and it recently introduced an egg replacement made of beans. Just is also working on lab-made chicken meat, meaning no animals had to be killed in the process. The company has raised more than $200 million over the past 8 years, and executives are reportedly considering an IPO. In this interview, Tetrick discusses why mission is so important for startup success and how he convinced investors to open their checkbooks for his company. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Whether you have a great idea you want to launch or a business you're running that you want to grow, Women Entrepreneurs' powerful Build Like a Woman curriculum of online courses gives you all the tools you need to take your business to the next level. From digital self-paced courses, virtual coaching sessions, and webinars with experts, we power the entire journey, arming women entrepreneurs and leaders with what they need to start, grow, and flourish. Get started today. It's free to start. Enroll at entrepreneur.com/courses. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/courses.
This is How Success Happens. I'm your host, Stephen Bronner. On today's show, we have Josh Tetrick, co-founder of Just, a maker of vegan mayonnaise, cookie dough, and now an vegan egg replacement. Welcome, Josh. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Stephen. Good to be here.
So to start out, I figured we'd ask about your products. So what Just's products, like I mentioned, mayonnaise, cookie dough, dressing, have in common is that they all remove the use of eggs from products that are typically made from them. Why is this such a priority for you?
So when we started the company, we wanted to try to figure out a way to make food better. And we thought the best place to start was with the cheapest and most abundant animal protein on the planet, which happens to be the chicken egg. About 1 trillion, if you can believe it, chicken eggs were laid last year. About 40% of those were laid in China, about 15% in the U.S. And there are a lot of environmental, a lot of sustainability, a lot of animal welfare, even a lot of health issues with the way current production is done. All these chickens need to eat a lot of soy and corn, and all that soy and corn requires a lot of land, a lot of water. The animal welfare issues are somewhat obvious. Antibiotic use tends to be more than one would hope, and cholesterol continues to be an issue for a lot of people. So we thought, if we can find a plant out there, and there are well over 300,000 species of plants, if we can find a plant that scrambles like an egg and that works like an egg, and it might even be better in some respects, than a typical chicken egg, but we could build these big platforms that could end up having a meaningful impact on the food system. So we thought it was as good a place as any to start.
And you seem to have found that plant in mung bean, which is the main ingredient of your new product, Just Egg. I actually had the chance to try some, and I have to say it cooked and looked exactly like scrambled eggs. The taste is not quite there yet from this. I eat eggs, so I have a pretty good thing, but I think vegans who haven't had it for a few years would be absolutely delighted by the product. So what has been the reception to Just Egg so far, and what are your hopes for it?
So I'll start with the hopes. I'm going to reception. So the hopes are, in the next handful of years, it becomes one of the most important protein sources, period. So not just an egg substitute or an egg replacer, but a really important, healthy, sustainable, efficient source of protein. And when we sort of zoom back and we look at protein on the planet, we have chicken, obviously. We have the conventional egg. We have lamb. We have beef. We have some tofu and some tempeh thrown in there. And for us, we never wanted to start the company. I never, wanted to do this just to reach vegans. The point is to try to impact more people and make it easier for the industry and make it easier for families to eat a little bit better. And what we're seeing in the data is far less than 2% of people who are buying it are vegan or vegetarian. The vast majority of people are buying it, just want something that tastes really good, makes them feel good, and something that they can afford. And what you tried, Stephen, is version 2, which is launching in the next month or so with Whole Foods and with Sprouts and some other great partners. before the end of next year, we're coming out with another version, and then another version, then another version. And with each version that we release, we want to improve either the cost. And then the objective ultimately is to get below the cost of production of a conventional chicken egg. Globally, the cost of a chicken egg is about 8 cents per egg. And we want to get to about 4.7 cents. We want to improve the sensory experience. So not only just the flavor, but the texture, the mouthfeel, all those elements that really make for a high quality experience. We want to improve the quality of the health attributes. And we don't just want to compare it to an egg. We want it to have more protein, rich in micronutrients, rich in antioxidants, and also continue to make it better for the environment. So it's those parameters that we're always making better and better. And we think if we keep doing that, eventually the market, again, will continue to be much larger than just the vegan vegetarians, but everyone. And I just looked at some new data that came out yesterday. Today in the natural channel meaning the Sprouts and the Whole Foods and the Buy-Rites of the world, we're the number one selling liquid egg. So when I say number one selling, I don't mean for vegans. I don't mean egg replacement. I mean, period. So more people are purchasing our product when we're by those other conventional liquid eggs than the other guys. And again, part of the big reason for this is people are now choosing this instead of chicken or beef or tofu or tempeh. It's really helping to expand it. And we love to see that continue.
Is the hope for the product to eventually serve all functions of eggs within this one bottle?
Yeah, eventually you can make a decent cake with it. I wouldn't recommend if you're a cake connoisseur, I wouldn't be putting in angel food cakes. You can make an all right cake. You can make some cookies, make certain sauces. But yeah, eventually as we go up and make it better and better, we want to add all sorts of different functionalities to it so that it spans a wide range of applications, not just making a really good omelet or French toast or quiche, which it really thrives in today.
So your company has raised, I don't know if I have the latest numbers here, but more than $200 million from investors. Is that an accurate count?
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, you've done a few funding rounds. Obviously, our audience is entrepreneurs. They would want to raise money from investors at some point. And you're kind of in a food is not like the biggest draw for investors. So I was just wondering what your key takeaways and insights are from the fundraising process that you think can be applied universally.
Yeah, I think the most important thing to remember, and this was I've learned a ton over the last 7 years about what not to do and what to do more of. I think the most important lesson when it comes to fundraising is focus on what is substantially better for the company, right? Because it's very easy to get off track because this investor says you should do that. Another investor says you should do the other thing. But it's really important that you focus on what enables us to build a better, more permanent company and use that as your ultimate guidepost. The second thing I would suggest is, and this is something we didn't do early in our company's maturity, is I think entrepreneurs need to think as much about the business model of how they're going to market as they do about the product. And I'll use Just Egg as a really good example of that. When I co-founded the company, I knew what I wanted with this product. We had to find a plant that scrambles like an egg. And I didn't know where to find that plant. We had developed a technology to be able to make it happen. And that's really where the end of the analysis was. I didn't really think about what is the best way to commercialize that. And today what we do is we say, we're going to focus on the technology and the brand, and then we're going to identify partners to do everything else. And what I mean by that is our technology is the finding of that plant. So we found this little bean called the mung bean, the processing of that mung bean, which just means we mill it to a flour and then we remove the protein from it. And then imagine we have a whole bunch of bags filled up with this protein. It's about 91-92% mung bean protein. And then we sell those bags with the Just brand on it to companies all around the world. And the companies that we sell to end up being egg companies or dairy companies, which might be surprising to a lot of your listeners, but egg companies and dairy companies are really good at manufacturing. They're really good at distribution. They really want to try to find a way to have higher operating margins. They want to be around for another 50 years. So we sell it to them. They then use their infrastructure, which is quite extensive, which we didn't pay for. They paid for it to mix it up, get it out through a cold chain into customers' hands. And ends up being a really good deal for us because it allows us to focus our capital on the technology and the brand, as opposed to spending a lot of money on warehousing or a lot of money on trucking or a lot of money on these things. Our partners end up doing that and ends up being really good for the partners because they're trying to figure out a way to grow in a sustainable way. that's a big thing that I've learned. Again, that relates to just building a better company and also thinking about a more effective way to raise capital from investors. That's a more of a capital light approach, allowing you to focus on what you're really good at. And maybe the third thing I would say in terms of how to talk to and how to reach out to investors, it's really important that you can't be certain about everything, right? You can't be certain if you're going to find the plant. You can't be certain if you're going to, you know, get that customer over the finish line. But you do need to ensure that when you're speaking to investors, that the logic and the rationale is sound. Because a really savvy investor knows that there's not certainty in a startup. But a really savvy investor needs to know that you're being thoughtful about it, right? That your logic is sound, that you're approaching it with the right sort of logical reasoning, and that your assumptions are laid out clearly. And I found if you can do that and present a really compelling vision for where you're going, you tend to, you know, end up in a good place.
Should entrepreneurs lead with a mission, or should they lead with their experience?
I think I would, in my experience, both with hiring new employees, hiring new team members, and talking to investors and partners, that people need to understand the root, the why that has led you here. Now, often you can illuminate your experience through the mission, right? So like in my case, my experience or lack of it in entrepreneurship is sort of the story, that is the authentic story that I tell about how I found this mission. You're able to do those two things at once. But I think the most important thing that an entrepreneur can focus on is clearly articulating the root and the why of why they're doing this, you know, why they're doing this in the first place. It's hard to understand the product, the team, the market, any of that, until the person you're talking to really understands the root of it, the real why. And for us, that why is, I spent a lot of my time working in nonprofits and other international institutions, and I got really frustrated that those ways of doing good seemed pretty ineffective to me. And I read a book a while ago called Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid that talked about how capitalism, not nonprofits, is the best means to solve some of society's most pressing problems. And it really opened my eyes to a different way of going about things. And I'm 38 today. I didn't know anything about entrepreneurship till I was in my early 30s. And it began to form my, you know, intellectual framework that I have today, which is, I think business is the best way to solve problems. And it's just a matter of finding the system that you want to use business, try to improve a bit, and then you can build a business model and a company and everything else around that. So I think it really does start with the why.
That's great advice. Okay, so switching gears, I'm curious about the name Just. So it's been the name of the company for about 2 years now. I can imagine that there's a big difference here between how it appears on the shelves versus online. It's pretty hard to search for, I gotta say, but can you explain the rationale behind the name Just, and, you know, why was it appealing, and what have been, you know, the key takeaways of the change now that you're 2 years into it?
Yeah. So for consumers, they've always known us as either the company that sells Just products, Just Foods, or when we first launched Just Mayo, people used to think the name of our company was Just Mayo. And that's been an important lesson. The way consumers perceive you is different than the way maybe the investment community or others perceive you. Because consumers really just kind of, they have one lens. They're going to a shelf or going into a restaurant and seeing how you appear there. But we initially called Just Mayo and those other products Just Blank, because the word just means simple and also fair and equitable, which seemed to personify the core elements that we believe are the foundations of the company. And after more and more consumers kept calling us the Just Food Company, the Just Mayo Company, we put it into a plan. Actually, it was more than 2 years ago where we began the process of contemplating what that might look like. And then we decided to pull the trigger and to call our name Just. You're right that the name Just alone is challenging to search for online. We find that a lot of consumers end up searching for the product. So they end up putting in Just Egg or Just Mayo, and those are a little bit easier. So they were sacrificing a little bit of the SEO on the name Just for the meaning of the name and the simplicity and the hope that people will, if they really want the product, will put the extra three letters egg after it, and then they'll be able to get to it.
Is that kind of backing from your philosophy that you're kind of like a product first company to the consumer?
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, for a consumer, and this is this goes to, you know, one of the important lessons that, you know, what an investor is talking about or what an employee might be talking about often has some commonalities with a consumer, but consumer tends to approach things, we've noticed, in a much more, I think, maybe a simpler way, which is, does the damn thing taste good? Does it make me feel good? Can I reasonably afford it? If so, give me more. And at the end of the day, the company is going to succeed or not by our ability to make stuff that tastes really good, that makes people feel good, that they can actually afford. If we figure out a way to do that, stay very focused on that, then we're going to be able to do the things that we need to do. And, you know, there are always trends out there, right? And there have been trends for as long as human beings have been selling anything. And our bet is that what was true 1,000 years ago is true today and will be true 1,000 years from now, which is people like food that tastes good, that makes them feel good, whether because of environmental reasons or health and wellness reasons or animal welfare reasons, that they can afford. And if we stay fixated on those three things and getting better on those three things and developing a business model to deploy those three things where we find great partners to do it, then we're going to be all right.
Great. So kind of zooming out a bit, it seems like we've been at kind of a turning point in the food industry for at least a couple of years, I would say. What do you think the next 5 years holds, and what change do you think is most likely to happen within the next 5 years?
Well, I think if we zoom out and think about the global food system and thinking critically about it, I think what I see is half the infrastructure to build a more sustainable, more just food system is actually there, and half needs to be built by entrepreneurs. And the half that is there is the mixing and the blending and the bottling and the trucking and the distribution and the manufacturing and all of that. All of that has been built. And I think all the entrepreneurs out there who are interested in starting a food company should realize they don't have to do it all from scratch. Half that infrastructure is already there. The other half that needs to be built, and this is the area I think we're going to see an enormous amount of progress, is we need to develop new technologies and new approaches to plug into that infrastructure. And I think you're going to see continued emergence of more and more people that want to start food companies. Whether they call them food companies or food technology companies, it doesn't really matter. New approaches to making food better. I think you're going to see that continue to happen across China and India, certainly across the United States. I think you're going to see a continued emergence of plant-based products from companies competing against us in the world of eggs, the companies doing burgers and chicken and sausages and the whole range of meat products. Companies continue to get into plant-based dairy products. I think you're going to see more and more companies that decide that a plant-based approach isn't necessarily right for them, but a more cultured meat approach is right for them, whereas the end product is not plant-based, but the end product is actually meat-based. This is where you can take a cell of an animal, feed nutrients to that cell, and actually make meat without needing to kill the animal. I think you're going to see more and more companies pursue that approach. And I think if we fast forward 5 years from now, I think you're going to see an increasing segment of the food that people consume being food that is consumed from these new ways of doing things. And that's not just going to be a U.S. thing. We're seeing that all around the world. And I think finally, and to me, this is the thing that probably gives me the most optimism about where our food system is going, is in the last year in particular, I have spent an enormous amount of time with the biggest egg, meat, and dairy companies. And when I started this company, when I co-founded this company, I thought big egg, meat, and dairy companies didn't get it, even had a judgment towards them as people. And that was wrong. And as I've gotten to know them a little bit more, I realized that they have an interest in building a better food system too. They have the infrastructure to do it. You just got to make it easier for them to do the right thing and they'll do it. And our business is now being built on partnerships with them. And I think you're going to see more and more of those kinds of companies that open up their eyes to it, that can leverage their infrastructure to do good. And I think the combination of entrepreneurship and those existing companies are really going to put us on a path to build the kind of food system that we can actually be proud of one day.
Great. Where can our listeners find Just Online?
They can go to, if they want to buy the products online, you can buy it on Amazon. You can buy it on Jet. You can buy it on this company that recently started in San Francisco called Milk Guys, spelled M-Y-L-K Guys. And then mostly wherever they are, whether restaurants or retailers, they can find the product in physical retail. If you go to justforall.com, you can plug in your zip code, and usually within 3 or 4 miles, you'll be able to find some place to buy it.
All All right. So, thank you, Josh, for joining us today. It was great speaking with you.
Cool. Thanks, Stephen.
That's our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. How Success Happens comes out every week. To catch each episode, please subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Like, share, and leave us a review so we can always be improving. Go to entrepreneur.com for more episodes of this show and our other great podcasts. That's entrepreneur.com. Thanks.